It's James and Wiggy on Sports Radio WEEI.
There were other players, Jimmy Smith, I believe, who got suspended 4 games for threats. Like, that was basically his crime, was threats, which, of course, is not, you're not allowed to do, so he got suspended 4 games. Even that was not precedent for a Tyreek Hill suspension, in part because, and this is something my colleague James Palmer has just reported, actually, Tyreek Hill actually showed text messages to the league contradicting a lot of the claims that his fiance made. So I think there was a lot here and a lot that was not reported until pretty recently.
Well, that was Ian Rappaport on WEI last week talking about the Tyreek Hill situation. We are Wiggy and James, and the number to get in is 617-779-7937. Obviously, there's a lot to dive into here with this situation. Unfortunately, there's a 3-year-old son who has a broken arm. Okay, he's a 3-year-old son who has a broken arm, and the NFL decided to do nothing over this whatsoever. Now, you heard that sound there, and the reason we played it, how it was pertinent to Jimmy Smith and what Ian Rappaport said about him being suspended 4 games for just making threats.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the sound of Tyreek Hill with his ex, Crystal Espinal.
I broke my son's arm. Come on, let's be real, bro. Let's be real.
Yeah, let's be real.
You know how I am with kids, and you know how I am with very hard, but I would never, ever hurt my son in life. Look,
he is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect.
Me.
It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me, too. Dumb bitch. That's why you can't keep man.
Okay.
So that should have got him suspended.
That should have got him suspended. I mean, if Jimmy Smith got 4 games, Wiggy, if we're just going to draw apples to apples, that's a 4-game suspension. He got 4 games for the same thing. And I didn't hear a tape about Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith's came from a court petition that was found by a reporter in the courts in Baltimore. This was audio.
This is, I mean,
right.
Wiggy.
So there should have been some suspension.
Well,
there.
You said one. I said four.
Anywhere between 1 and 4 games for that, correct?
Yeah. All right. So here's we go. Let's just go ahead and look at this. You get a suspension, you don't get a suspension type stuff. Ray Rice, 2-game initial suspension for knocking out his fiance, Janae Palmer, in an Atlantic City casino elevator. Ended up getting only...
Right, that was before the tape came out, though.
Yeah. Roger Goodell, allegedly,
right,
due to tracking, had the tape delivered to his office months prior to that.
Right, but his claims were he never saw it, right?
Oh, sure he didn't. Right. Ezekiel Elliott, little evidence on a situation against his ex-girlfriend, 6 games. Greg Hardy, who there were pictures all over the internet of his ex-girlfriend,
mm-hmm,
who allegedly cheated on him with Nelly, that he threw her on a bed of guns.
Yep.
She had bruises all over her body. Initially got 10-game suspension. It was reduced to 4 games.
Right.
Jameis Winston got 3 games for physically groping a female Uber driver. We mentioned Jimmy Smith, 4 games for, quote, evidence of threatening and emotionally abusive behaviors towards his former girlfriend that showed a pattern of improper conduct. Kareem Hunt suspended 8 games by the NFL for the situation with the woman in a Cleveland hotel.
Yep.
Tom Brady got 4 games for basically being no evidence on. And the
what was it? More probable than not?
More probable than not on the whole Deflategate situation. So what we're seeing here, Wiggy, is a whole lot of inconsistency across the board.
And that comes from the commissioner.
I mean, you just heard. We just played you the audio evidence for Goodell. You need to be terrified of me.
Which definitely incriminates him for making a threat.
Quote, you need to be terrified of me, bitch. That's why you can't keep an effing man.
And you need to be terrified of me, too.
Right. So that's the incriminating evidence that you need, because at the end of the day, but you really don't even need that in the audio, because we know that with the Article 46 of the CBA, which basically says that Commissioner Goodell can suspend guys without significant evidence. He doesn't need clear-cut evidence. He doesn't need a arrest. He doesn't need those type of things to suspend guys. He could basically look at what he has in front of him, whatever that may be, and then he makes his decision. He becomes the judge, jury, and executioner. And so we all know, like you said, it's based on how he feels that day. It seems like, right? And when you look at this Tyreek Hill situation, I don't think there's really any coming back for him on this. Because we already had issues with him kind of in the past, like moving, like when you thought about the suspension with Brady, you thought about some of these other suspensions that you talked about. You know, now the whole other thing is like, now it's the Josh Gordon situation. What does he do with that? If he gave Tyreek Hill zero games, now what do you do with Josh Gordon? Do you say, okay, here's a guy that has had an issue dealing with...
I mean, you said last week 10 for Josh Gordon.
Right, but now
it's
like, well, you can give him zero.
But that's what... And therein lies... At the end of the day, Wiggy, here's the worst part. You're a parent. There's a three-year-old boy who has no way of protecting himself.
Right.
That somehow, some way, whether it was Kareem Hunt or his ex.
Tyreek Hill, you mean?
Tyreek Hill. Yeah, thanks for the correction. Yep. I just, because we're talking about Chiefs and former Chiefs. Tyreek Hill, there's a three-year-old boy who cannot defend himself, who has a broken arm, and it just didn't happen by some act of God. And at the end of the day,
we don't know what happened.
We
right?
don't know what happened.
Like you said, Tyreek Hill has.
How is the authorities in Kansas City not doing anything?
Because they haven't been able.
The evidence is a 3-year old that's a broken arm.
No. But
we're social services.
But social services, don't they have the kid, or the kid was taken away from them?
Yeah.
So they closed the case, right? Which tells me they didn't have enough evidence to show how that kid broke his arm. Kid could have been playing on a swing, fell off a swing, and broke his arm, right?
Right.
That's an accident.
Yes.
They don't know, was this an accident? Was this done by Tyreek Hill? Was this done by his ex-fiance, what's her name, Espinal?
Crystal Espinal.
Crystal Espinal. They don't have enough information to charge anybody. So now they have to figure out, okay, what do we do? We have no case here. But the NFL has to kind of go down that same direction in the sense of they have no evidence, but now it's up to Goodell. He doesn't need evidence.
Yes.
He just bases it on how he feels.
Yeah, and here's the thing that when the NFL, and Alex Reamer, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, Reamer wrote an article on WEEI.com, said NFL insiders say full Tyreek Hill tape exonerates him in abuse case. It does no such thing. And
which he's right about.
He's absolutely right about
it. When you heard that, does it prove him to be guilty in the fact, and not about the threatening part, because we both can agree on that, right? He does threaten her on.
I mean, Wiggy, you tell me, if you're in a jury, and you're one of how many jurors, I don't know what they have these days, 8, 12, whatever.
Right.
If you played audio tape, Sid, of someone, and not a pro athlete, forget about Tyreek Hill, just anyone saying, you need to be terrified of me too, bitch.
Right.
Like, that's pretty threatening.
Yeah, but I'm saying we agree upon that.
Right.
But we're talking about in the fact of the kid with the broken arm, right? We don't know who to blame on that, because she's clearly on tape too. If you listen to the whole 11-minute audio where she says she's hit the son before too.
Yes.
So that part of it, we don't know. As far as the Tyreek Hill and threatening her in the sense of, you need to be scared of me too, bitch, we know that to be true. So that should be in itself the reason why you suspend them for whether it's one game, two games, three games, or four games. That should be the reason.
You know, the NFL, they're always reactive when it comes to domestic abuse. And, you know, with Adrian Peterson, he got suspended an entire season for the switch stuff and him, you know, handling his son and whether you think it was right.
But they had like
evidence. They had evidence.
They had the pictures of his kid with the bruises.
But here's the thing. Isn't evidence enough? Just a 3-year-old kid having a broken arm?
No, because we don't know. Listen, we don't know how the kid broke his arm. What if the kid fell off the swing?
Well, they didn't bring that up though.
They said we don't know what happened to this kid. We don't know if it was an accident. We don't know if Tyreek did it. We don't know if the fiance did it. That's the problem in this thing, is that you have two people that clearly very toxic, have a toxic relationship. You don't know who to believe. You don't know who's telling the truth. You don't know who's lying. And now you have the 3-year-old at the heart of all of this. And we don't even know, like, didn't they have to take the kid to the doctors to put the cast on? And I've had, like I said, I have 3 kids, and they've hurt themselves before. Generally, when you take them to the doctors,
they're going to ask questions.
They say, hey, what happened?
And you especially say, when it comes to children, right?
Yeah, they say, hey, what happened to them? You know, this, that, and the other. Like, where is that? There is no information.
Yeah.
Did they not ask the doctor who cared for the kid?
It's against the law. The doctor, it's doctor-patient confidentiality.
So, all right, so even though, but even though in a criminal case, when there could potentially be child abuse, they don't have the ability as law enforcement to kind of go past that? I mean, I would think they would have that, right?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, too. On the Ezekiel Elliott thing, there was no substantive evidence against him. The investigator, a lot of people felt as though she was trying to make a point. She was female, mm-hmm. and she threw the book at Ezekiel Elliott. He got 6 games for much less than this.
Well, you're talking about the stuff that happened to him with his ex-girlfriend at Ohio State.
And then
he had the incident on the boat, and I believe it was
Mardi Gras,
where he pulled the girl's shirt.
And there was a separate incident that happened at a concert in Vegas where he's wearing the LeBron jersey, but that wasn't with a woman. That was with a security guard at the casino.
But I think the suspension that he got the 6 games went back to the stuff that transpired at Ohio State. That
all I know is this: the NFL, you failed. The National Football League today.
Yeah, we know that.
The National Football League today is the National Failure League. They failed on this one. They failed a 3-year-old boy.
That's why I said Goodell is at the forefront.
Of course he is. Of course he is. I'll be. Yeah. Hey, John, you're number one, bro. You're number one. Dave in Plymouth, you're up next on Wiggy and James. What's up, Dave?
What's going on, Mark?
Hey.
You know, there's audio of Tyreek Hill's girlfriend saying that the kid said, "Daddy hurt me."
Yeah.
I mean,
Dave, hold on. Here we go. John Anderson's going to play that for you. I'm glad you mentioned that, Dave. Here's the audio on that.
And now somehow this investigation got brought back up, and you're about to lose your. So now I really want you to sit and think about it, because I rode for you against that detective and the CPS people, and they said time and time again that literally kept saying, "Daddy punches me," which you do when he starts crying. What do? You make him open up his arms and you punch him in the chest. And then if he gets in trouble, you get the belt out and you
do. Okay, so what about you? What you don't do, also, I'm just going to take it.
No, I told I told him that he gets whooped, but I don't use a belt, which is totally different.
You do use a belt, and that's sad. Even my mama said you use a belt.
When have I used a belt? When have you seen me use a belt? When have I used a belt?
All right, so obviously...
So they're arguing about which... They both hit the kid, but they're arguing about, I don't use a belt, you use a belt.
So the law enforcement, Dave, the law enforcement in Kansas City, which must be, like, they must be just, like, Keystone Cops. They, with that audio right there and a kid having a 3-year-old having a broken arm, they couldn't press charges or do something to this either, both of them?
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's why it comes down to Roger Goodell. And let me tell you something. If this was a New England Patriot player, you better believe he'd be suspended half a season. And
easily.
I think this comes back to Roger Goodell's hate for the Patriots. Clearly, they're the only competition for the New England Patriots. And for them to take away Tyreek Hill, that'd be a big blow to Kansas City.
Yeah, and Dave, here's another thing I think. I think it was a quid pro quo scenario. I think the Kansas City Chiefs were like, hey, look at what we did at Kareem Hunt. We cut him right away. And so the NFL went soft on Tyreek Hill. I'm telling you.
And when you hear that audio, especially that part right there.
That was incriminating.
When you hear them going back and forth, how do you then know who to believe when they both say, oh, I hit the kid, but I don't use a belt. You hit the kid. You use a belt. No, I don't use a belt. You use a belt. So it's almost like if you're sitting there, you don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily believe her, and you sure enough can't believe him.
somebody, like, here's the thing about it. If you literally don't have, if you're law enforcement doors and you don't have any type of evidence, the evidence is a 3-year-old having a broken arm.
Yeah, but they can't, like, I would imagine that if they don't, if the kid has a broken arm, but they don't know how the arm got broken, if it's an accident, I know that they were trying to put a case together, but if they can't find enough evidence, they can't just go charging people without no evidence because the case will get thrown out in court.
Jeff in Nashua, what's up?
Hey, guys, just want to make a quick point here that, you know, I think it was brought up back when Ray Rice had his thing that, you know, I mean, you know, he stone cold knocked out his fiance.
Oh, that was the worst thing ever, Jeff, ever.
I mean, she's a stone cold, and then to see her standing up there with him at the podium that they're going to try and repair their marriage, and then you get this girl.
Oh, by the way, Jeff, they actually did. They're together. They're married.
I know that. I know that. And so, and then you have Espinal, who had all this evidence and everything, you know, that Tyreek Hill did this. And then you know that it happens behind the scenes that these professional athletes that are making millions and millions of dollars say, listen, Ray Rice fiance and Crystal Espinal, you have nothing without me. I'm about to be the highest paid player receiver in the NFL. And Ray Rice was on the downside of his career, but he was still making millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so these women stay with them and go back on their stories. If I did that to my wife, I would be in jail. And I would never see my kids again. But these women stay with their husbands. I mean, again, he stone cold knocked her out, and she's it's as much. And this is going to be, you know, probably insensitive, but it's as much their fault as it is the guy, as it is Ray Rice and Tyreek.
Well, I don't say that. No woman should ever have someone violently put their hands on. It's not their fault, dude. Come on, man. That's just no. That is not the case.
Well, you have to get to a certain point. I have a 21-year-old daughter, right? You have to get to a certain
man,
point.
Man, you're a young parent. Come on, idiot.
I
look
cool.
good for my age. That's all.
Yeah, you
black,
age well.
Black don't crack.
No, but you age like you have a 20. So she just graduated from college.
She's gonna go into her senior year.
Where'd she go?
Framingham State.
Oh, cool. So, right, if someone go ahead.
Well, I'm saying so. I teach my daughter that if a man puts his hands on you once, that's it. Right?
Yeah.
And I understand that there's a lot that goes on to it. There's a lot that, you know, they get caught up in this love affair and, you know, and it's just so much that they feel and, oh, maybe I can change him and I could do this and I could do that. I always say to her, if a man puts his hands on you, that's no man worth being with, right? Because no matter what, I teach my boys, never put your hands on a female. Yeah. I don't care if she punches you in the face.
That's right. You walk away.
Yeah.
Remember the speaking of elevator video? Remember when
Jay-Z Beyonce.
Solange, her Beyonce sister,
you take that out.
He took it.
You take it. Because
he took it.
It's just the way it
That's
is.
It.
So
you take it.
There are certain
now if they got a weapon, I'd run.
Right, but there are certain situations where you say, and I know it's very difficult out there.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of women that don't know how to get out of that situation, right? And they start to enable this bad behavior, and then they're so far in it they don't know how to turn out of it.
Oh.
And it's always in the.
So maybe that's what the caller in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's what I think he was alluding to.
Okay, but I just mean like no woman, it's not a woman's fault. If
no,
a guy,
I don't think he's saying
okay,
it's his fault.
That's what I thought he meant.
No, I don't think he's saying it's his fault if he hits her. I think he's saying that, you know, you have to know or you get in to a situation, there has to be a certain time where you try your best to pull the plug and get out of there before you get too deep into it.
Fair enough. Dean in Wrentham, you're up next. What's up, Dean?
Hey guys, what's up? Good conversation. Hey Wiggy, why does Goodell need a 100% to understand what happened with Tyreek Hill, but it's only highly probable with Brady?
He don't.
I don't understand why.
Dean, that's a great point.
And
a lot of the cases, he doesn't have 100% of the information and this, that. He's just making the decision based on how he's feeling.
But a couple things play into that, Dean, if we're going to, and I hate to do this because Brady was deflating football. And we're talking about putting hands on a three-year-old boy. But the one thing I will tell you, the Patriots got no punishment. They got no punishment over the Jets thing. Nothing happened there. And I think the fact that Brady fought Goodell tooth and nail, and I think that was the part that drew the eye.
But even if he doesn't fight him tooth and nail, he's still getting suspended.
Not four games.
So he gets suspended two games. What's the difference?
Two games. That's a difference.
No, but he's still getting suspended is the point.
Dean, your phone sucks.
No, but Brady's still getting suspended. So even if he doesn't fight it, there's still a suspension. It's all not right. Like you're going off. He doesn't fight it. He walks away with no suspension. He's fighting it knowing that, hey, my only chance of proving my innocence here or proving that I had no involvement in this is taking it all the way. If that upsets Goodell because Goodell's looking at it like, wait a second, who are you to be challenging me and my power here? I have the power to do what it is I want.
Well, that's why I think if the fact that he was so resistant, he fought it.
Right, but Brady was fighting it because he knew if he just threw his hands in, yeah, he was going to get suspended anyways.
And not to get all back into Deflategate, I still can't get over the fact that people got on Tom Brady because he didn't turn his private cell phone over. Who would ever turn your right. You don't ever turn your private cell phone over to anybody. Come on, especially not Roger Goodell. That's unbelievable. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your calls on this Tyreek Hill situation coming up next. But what time is it right now?
But first, we trend.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, trending now is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Who's helped thousands lose their weight and, more importantly, keep that weight off? View their transformations at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. You know who needs Awaken 180 big time, Wiggy?
Who's that?
Damian Woody.
Well, Damian Woody was on the Biggest Loser. And he lost a ton of weight.
And then he gained it back.
And he found it quickly.
Wow, he found that weight back. He needs Awaken 180 like ASAP, like now. Speaking of Patriots, former Patriots, six of the current players will start this season on the PUP list, including Sony Michel, Demaryius Thomas, Dietrich Wise, Nate Ebner, Cole Cross, and Ken Webster. Isaiah Wynn passed his physical after tearing his Achilles before the beginning of last season. Red Sox, whew, one of their worst losses of the year yesterday. They only had one hit against some dude I never heard of for Baltimore. I thought he might have been related to Adrian Wojnarowski, but then I realized the name was similar.
It was Ashner or something?
Yeah, Wojowski or something. He was, hey, good for him. But the Red Sox sucked yesterday. They opened up a three-game series down in beautiful St. Pete. And more people down there will probably be Red Sox fans there over the course of the next three nights. Guess who's on the mound tonight, Wiggy? It is, I believe, E-Rod. E-Rod going up against former Red Sox Jalen Beeks. Jalen Beeks making his first start of the season. You can catch all the action right here with Joe Castig and Josh Lewin in the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network pregame at 6:10. And then the game will start at 7:10. Yeah, I called Eduardo Rodriguez E-Fraud. active interest the Red Sox do have in Padres closer Kirby Yates and Blue Jays reliever Ken Giles. Perhaps a little too late there, Dave Dombrowski. Shane Lowry won the Open Championship in his home country of Ireland on Sunday. Glad he actually came through in Ireland, unlike Rory McIlroy, who missed the cut, Wiggy.
Oh, wow.
He missed the cut completely.
Is that where Rory McIlroy's from?
He's from Ireland. Yeah, okay. Yep.
Good morning.
Chris Curtis is also from Ireland.
And Chris Curtis is he's around the building right now. Yes. We see him. That's Lowry's first major title, and that is what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI. EEI.com. More Wiggy and James after this.
93.7 FM WEEI.
I'm not surprised necessarily that the NFL didn't suspend him because of the abuse allegations, because it obviously there, I guess, wasn't conclusive evidence. Cops didn't pursue it. I thought they would come down on him because of the verbal threat, given the fact that this is a woman he has a very disturbing history with, right? The history that I just described. So given that context, for him to come out and threaten her, which is what that was, and that's something that the league has suspended players for before, Jimmy Smith on the Ravens, I am surprised they did nothing.
All right, that was Mina Kimes from ESPN, and she so eloquently put that, yes, Basically, Tyreek Hill should have been suspended for what deemed a veiled threat against his ex, where they have a disturbing history, as she put it, to say the
least. Well, I was on with Reamer yesterday, and his conspiracy theory was that Goodell, and he believes this, the Goodell is not really the bearer of bad news, the person who punishes athletes. He thinks it's more of a collective collective from NFL owners, especially like some like Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft. And there's also been that conspiracy that, well, you don't want to suspend Tyreek Hill because he's a good player, and if he's not on the field, that doesn't help with ratings and that kind of thing. That's which I don't really buy into. I mean,
no, that's, you know, I think Reamer's reaching on that one. I don't see that at all. No, I think the quid pro quo, as I talked about, I think because the Chiefs were very proactive in dealing with Kareem Hunt, and they cut him right away, and they say, and they, the NFL said, look, because I think they knew this Tyreek Hill situation was going to be coming, and he said, listen, you can just, you know, because for him to get nothing, the optics are so, it's such a bad look.
You know what the Chiefs should do, and I think they have the ability to do that, is the Chiefs, I think, could suspend him, right? I think the Chiefs could suspend Tyreek Hill.
But they're not going to. Well, here come the Chiefs. They're not going to do that.
No, I know that, but that would be the thing. Right. Like, you go, listen, we're going to suspend him for, you know, two or three games for conduct detrimental.
Apparently they decided to play selective justice. Let's go to the phone. Yep, back to the phones. George in Milford. What's up, George?
Hey, guys. Listen, you need to pick one. You're either a stupid, naive imbecile, or you're just pro-athlete, pro-African-American, and that's all there is to it. It's one of those two, because there's a history of violence here. I believe he did it. I can just say I think he did it because of a history of violence. They admitted to holding the kid's arms open and punching a three-year-old in the chest as punishment. I have a three-year-old daughter. If I punched her in the chest, Wiggy, my wife would cut my throat in my sleep, and she'd be a hero for it.
I don't know. What are we saying? I said that we don't know. One of the two did it.
Just say we don't know. Take a stance.
What do you mean? How do we know, though? We don't know. What am I supposed to say? Tyreek Hill did it? Or his ex fiance did it? There's no proof. All we know is the kid had suffered a broken arm. Hold on, you talked and I talk like you know John Dennis. That's how it works, right? So we know that the kid had a broken arm. We don't know if the kid fell off a slide. We don't know if somebody pushed him. We don't know if Tyreek Hill grabbed him. We don't know if the fiance hit him and broke his arm. We know that somebody did something or something happened, but we don't know exactly what that is. Is there any?
There's a history of violence here, Wiggy. There's a history of violence. It's this antiquated, stupid culture of whoopings and switches and belts, and it needs to be unacceptable in the NFL and in society in general.
Listen, George. There are plenty of kids that I was one of them that got, you know, whoopings when they were a kid, and my mother didn't break my arm. And there's plenty of parents who do that. And it's not like we need to stop that or whatever. Some kids, they get to a certain point. I understand 3-year-old is a little extreme. It's young, but you know, kid gets to 8 years old, 9 years old. He says something a little bad. You know, you give him a little flapjack on the back of the butt or on the back of the hand. Ain't nothing wrong with that. The problem with society is we're too soft. We don't want to hit the kids. You know, and that's why you have some of these kids, you look at them as teenagers, and I coach youth sports, that these kids don't respect anybody. Some of these kids don't even damn respect themselves.
Wow.
I mean, they're out there, you know, taking lives.
But no respect for authority,
right?
Huh?
They're out there taking lives at 15 years old. You think they care about authority?
Yeah.
You know, they don't give a damn about their own life.
Wow. Michael and Boss, interesting perspective from Wiggy. What's up, Michael?
What's up, guys? I just wanted to start saying off that I'm a big Wiggy guy, so shout out to Wiggy.
I'm a big Wiggy guy, too, so shout out to Wiggy as well.
I love the shout out.
Good. I think the opposite stance as you guys. I do think it comes down to ratings a little bit, just for the simple fact that I haven't heard you guys say anything about Patrick Mahomes. The NFL has done so much this offseason to make this guy into a celebrity. Obviously, he had a great season last year, but obviously the awards that he won at the ESPYs, throwing him on the cover of Madden. By taking Tyreek Hill away from him, you've taken his best wide receiver and obviously the Kareem Hunt situation, so you've taken his best running back away. The NFL has invested way too much into this guy in this offseason for him to have a bad year. So I do fully believe that by not spending Tyreek Hill, that this is more of a Patrick Mahomes or
you know what Michael, I never even thought
of
that.
Yeah, but Michael, let me ask
you but you bring up a really good point.
But let me ask you this quick question, Michael. Why couldn't they have suspended him for 4 games? He'd still be coming back, so you could still get Patrick Mahomes to still have one of his weapons even if you suspended him for 2, 3, or 4 games.
Yeah, but what happened? So I don't know the Kansas City Chiefs schedule off the top of my head, but what if it comes down to it's another, you're taking away the possibility of a Chiefs-Rams game again in the first 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Especially to start the year off, you want to start off on a good foot. So I mean,
well, I believe they start off Thursday night football, if
well,
I'm not mistaken.
Well, here's their schedule. I'll tell you what
their
schedule
Thursday night
is right now. They start, they play Sunday. They open up Sunday the 8th at 1 p.m. against Jacksonville. You could beat Jacksonville without Tyreek Hill. Then they play the Raiders. Which, you know, they're
going to be revamp Raiders, you know Antonio Brown, Brown,
and then you got the Ravens and Lions. Those are their first 4 games.
Yeah, here's the thing about Michael. I think there's some creed. I think there's some fire to the smoke that you're talking about. I do. I think it's about the QB, and you take away his biggest weapon.
Why wouldn't you do that with Brady then? If, you know, like ratings were down and everything, you suspended him for the first 4 games, and he's arguably.
Because that comes down to a Roger Goodell situation. The Patriots and Roger Goodell obviously have that.
And the one thing, Michael, we cannot overstate enough, Tyreek Hill, to his credit, apparently was an open book about this whole thing. He did not fight the NFL. He let them do their due diligence. He did not show any type of resistance whatsoever. So you're going to get further by just going along and letting the NFL do what they got to do and do their investigation, which is what they did. Mm-hmm. And they found, I just can't believe, Michael, at the end of the day, appreciate the phone call. It's like you have two parents who have openly admitted on audio, one of them has accused the other of making the kid hold out his arms
right.
and punching him in the chest. The other's admitted to whooping him. She claims she didn't use the belt. He says she did. And you have a 3-year-old with a broken arm, and nothing's been done about it. Joe and Methuen. Joe.
Yeah, hi. I was just probably looking at it a little bit different. I'm not sure why anybody's overly surprised. Through the years, we've had these situations repeatedly go on in very similar different venues. And, the one thing that just strikes me that I don't hear anyone say anything about is where are all these women groups that complain and talk about everything, and yet when we have these children having these situations, where are the Oprahs and where are the Hillarys and where are the Elizabeths? Where are all these people? Because they're on every other subject they shouldn't be, but they don't say a word about any of this ever.
Yeah,
That's one thing I've noticed.
You know, right. Joe, it's an interesting point. The one thing I will tell you that there's nothing more important in this world than the protection of children.
Right. But, to Joe's point, it's all about, you know, what type, how much that's going to move the needle. You know what I mean? As far as.
Protecting children, well, no, it
protecting
should be the
children
first and foremost
is number one. But
priority.
He's saying, where are all the people, like, where are these groups that are coming to the aids of the kids?
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
I
that's
see.
What he's
yeah.
saying. Like, where, okay. you know, where are all these groups?
Wiggy, you made a comment about coaching kids these days. Paul in a truck has something he wants to say about it. What's up, Paul?
Hey, I just want to agree with Wiggy, man. I tell you, I whipped my kids when they were young, when they deserved it.
Right.
And they turned out to be real good, and they're doing the same thing with my grandchildren. My daughter-in-law is a school teacher, and she had to give up her teaching career because the kids didn't respect her and were running over the top of her, threatening her with violence and everything else. And it's just, that's what's wrong with society. There's a big difference between discipline and child abuse. I discipline my children, and that's right. Nobody disciplines their kids anymore. That is the problem.
Right, and he's right about that. I mean, you think about it. Listen, go to World Style Hip Hop anytime.
I actually go on there on the Instagram
a lot. Yeah. And he's right. There's a difference between discipline and child abuse. But these kids, man, I'm telling you, 14, 15-year-old kids, they're telling the teachers, F you ain't going to do nothing. You know, because they know that we live in a society, like I forget what the one caller was who was calling the nasally, Milford phone there. It was nasally.
Chris
like,
Milford,
yeah, you can't hit kids no more. Because we shouldn't do that. No, if your kid needs to be disciplined. Now, I do agree, 3 years old is a little bit young to discipline a child.
I would say very young.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I agree when they get to a certain age that you you should be able to discipline. And if that means you have to use a little bit of, you know, some light force to get a kid to understand and say, uh-oh, I don't want to do that again, because I used to be scared to go, I don't want to go home. Who knows what my mother's going to do? And that now lets us as now, you know, 11, 12 years old think like, what are we going to, how I need to handle myself differently.
But you admitted that you disciplined your kids back in the day.
Yes.
And they turned out great, right?
Yeah, my kids are fine. Right. And,
they respect authority.
Yeah, and I never, you know, I wasn't in a situation where, you know, was hitting a kid like that one caller said.
I think obviously
there's a difference between discipline and child abuse, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But it's obvious.
All right, but nowadays, you can't forget about it.
Final segment next. Yesterday was the Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Curt Schilling should have been in, but
Do you think he ever gets in?
Yes.
I think he will?
He will. He's the greatest postseason pitcher in baseball.
I mean, I think he should be in there, but
yes,
with all the off-the-field stuff.
There was something, though, that probably had a little bit more special meaning. We will get to that next on the final segment of Wiggy and James.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
This is not my speech to give. I'm going to do the best I can to say the things I believe Roy might have said or would have wanted to say if he was here today. I think that Roy would want everyone to know that people are not perfect. We are all imperfect and flawed in one way or another. We all struggle, but with hard work, humility, and dedication, imperfect people can still have perfect moments. Roy was blessed in his life and in his career to have some perfect moments, but I believe that they were only possible because of the man he strived to be, the teammate that he was, and the people he was so blessed to be on the field with. I'm so humbled to say congratulations to this year's Hall of Fame inductees, to say thank you to all of you on Roy's behalf. Thank you so much for all of your support, your continued dedication to the game of baseball. It means more to all of us than I think anyone could possibly know. Thank you.
It's a tough speech to give, and Brandi Holliday, the wife of former Major League Baseball player Roy Halladay, she gave that speech posthumously yesterday. Obviously, her husband died, and he was flying a plane a couple years ago, and then that crashed, and he died, and he was immortalized in Cooperstown yesterday. So, certainly an emotional speech, a moment. Mariano Rivera was also inducted to the Hall. Harold Baines, even though we could talk to Tony La Russa about this, I sort of felt the one guy who was not there, but I do, you asked this last segment, let's get Curt Schilling in the freaking Hall of Fame already, please. He's the greatest, and for me to even just say postseason, he was also a great pitcher in the regular season as well. Let's get Schilling in the freaking Hall of Fame. Forget about his political views, just get him in the damn Hall of Fame.
See, the baseball thing is like,
And we have breaking news, too.
Okay.
This is breaking news on Mutt and Callahan.
Oh, it's not Mutt and Callahan, but
it's all right. Oh, it's an honor.
Yeah, you never know. Julian Edelman is sidelined 3 weeks with a thumb injury, according to Adam Schefter and Field Yates from ESPN. Now, it's not 3 weeks in the regular season. It's only of, you know, the start of training camp, but he's out for the first 3 weeks to the thumb injury.
Yeah,
so
it says Super Bowl MVP spotted at his youth camp over the weekend, which, you know, he had that camp. I forget where, Sudbury, I believe it was.
Yep.
And he had a small brace on his left thumb. Like you said, is expected to be sidelined.
How serious do you think this is, Wiggy?
I don't think it's serious at all. You know, I mean, who knows what it is? We don't know exactly what it is. We're only sidelined for a couple of weeks. He must have did something, like whether it was jammed it or maybe sprained it or did something.
Well, now what this does, though, is it gives other guys like Philip Dorsett.
Well, it gives
N'Keal Harry.
Perfect opportunity for Brady to really.
Dontrell Inman.
To get on page with N'Keal
Harry. Maybe Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, it allows him to kind of get some other guys, especially, you know, early into training camp, like see what type of chemistry he can build with some of those players.
Wow. Interesting news. Julian Edelman sidelined for 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks of training camp with a thumb injury. So, but more than likely, you know him. When he comes back, he always comes back stronger than ever. And so I'm not worried about the long term.
Yeah.
No, I'm not worried about that whatsoever. Is there something that you wanted to tease for tomorrow?
I don't know if we're necessarily, we'll call it a tease. I know there was a story about Odell Beckham that was in GQ.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be something interesting tomorrow that we might talk about. about that, which is, let me just say this. Around the NFL, this thing has been talked about for a long, long time in the locker room. So I'll just leave it at that.
Interesting. Oh, now I like that, what you just said
it's
there.
It's called a big market tease.
That's a big market tease. Yes.
I learned that in broadcasting and radio 101.
Where at UGA or no?
No, I learned that online at Radio University.
Oh, okay. Because you came in doing radio, so you're no stranger to this.
No, I know.
Yeah, like
radio.com.
This isn't your first rodeo. Oh, hey. Yes. Maybe we'll get this too. The Patriots have the highest win total in the NFL for wins at 11.
Ooh, over and under 11. Maybe we go through the schedule. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that?
We do the old Mike Francesa. That's a win. That's a loss. That's a win.
Where are they
playing?
That's
a loss. That's a win.
Could
that's
be very
a loss.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's always great. Francesa. So,
but you say anytime I do the Patriots, I never have them losing. So they
last year you never picked against them. You had them 16-0 last year.
I look at the schedule and then I say, what
game? They lost 5 games last year.
Well, yeah, but going into the season, did you think that?
Yeah.
Did you think they were going to lose down in Miami?
I thought they were going to lose at home to Kansas City.
But did you think they were going to lose down in Miami?
No, but I had them losing to Pittsburgh.
But Pittsburgh, I could see that one.
But you had them going.
I didn't have them going
6-0. All right, Lucy Burge did a great job. John Anderson, strive to be as good as Lucy tomorrow. We'll see.
You got 5 days.
You got a lot of room for improvement. Try to be as good as her. No, you did a good job, John. I'm just busting your chops. And let's continue as the week goes on. Let's see the progress on the McDonald's on Soldier Field Road.
Who's on tomorrow? Do we know yet?
Oh, no, we know Dickerson backed out for tomorrow. He's busy. He's got a lot of things going on. So Dickerson will not be here tomorrow, but we'll it'll be me, you,
we'll
and someone tomorrow.
Out.
Well, we will definitely, all
we
four
should
of us
do
will
like
be back.
A, if I ever had my own show, I would do like a once a month where we just have a random person come in. They win. You know, like they win a spot like American Idol.
You know what we should do is that we should have 2 full-time hosts and then every day have a third different person.
That would be pretty cool.
Well, that sounds like a novel idea.
We could call it like a casting couch. Or like revolving door. I mean, I like revolving door better than casting couch. I don't think
casting couch, especially now, the connotation of casting couch.
Why, have they
so
used
good.
Casting couch before?
Yeah,
I just like
they've used it on Kirk and Callahan for many years. All right, Dale and Keith coming up next. Andy Hart in with Dale all week long.